Welcome to 2023, January the 1st, 2023. That doesn't hardly seem possible for an old guy like me. I didn't know I'd ever see the 20th century or the 2000, let alone 2023. It was against all the odds in nature and science and medicine that I have done this, but it's not me, it's the Lord. We are studying the book of Exodus. We're doing our Bible readings, class number 186, as you see on the board up there. And we're talking about the third word. The third word. Now, I talked to you in classes before this, explaining that there aren't Ten Commandments. Even though there are Ten Commandments, there aren't labeled as Ten Commandments. It's all one commandment. All one. And the chapters and verses in the Bible are not inspired. They were put in there later. It helps us find John 3:16 and Ephesians 2:8-10 and Romans the 8th chapter and Revelation and whatever. It's very handy to have these Bible chapters and verses, but they are not inspired. The books were just written solidly, completely. They've gone from one subject to the other. But sometimes the chapters that they have in the Bible don't start in the right place. The verses don't end with the right place. So don't ever think that the verses and the chapters are inspired of God. That's simply a misnomer. The Ten Commandments are the Decalogue. A Decalogue comes from the Greek deca, ten, and logos, ten words. The third word is talking about the name of God. The ten words, the third word, ha-dabar, or dabar. Now, of course, when we talk about the Decalogue, the Jews were not using the Hebrew Bible in Jesus' time. They were using this Greek Septuagint. The Greek language was the universal language of the whole world at that time, at least in that part of the world. Now, we come down to the third word. And I'll be reading to you from Kyle and DeLeish, their commentary on this. And it is, I have to share this with you. It is so monumental. When I was teaching the book of Exodus before, I did not go into completely into this like I'm doing this time. And I'm doing this for your edification, for your understanding about the commandments. The third word, you shall not take the name of the Lord of Jehovah your God in vain. The name of Jehovah. The word Jehovah, that came from the King James Version of the Bible, and it is not in the Bible. Okay? We use it because King James used the word Jehovah for whatever the name is of God. We don't know. It's this. I'll write up here what it is. That's it. It's four consonants. The name of God is four consonants with no vowels. And so you can't pronounce it. We don't know how you say that word at all. A lot of people say Yahweh. But if you just look at it, all you can say is Yah or nothing, because you have no way to pronounce it. Now, it says you shall not use or take the name of your Lord or use the name. And it actually says here, you shall not keep on doing this, because they were. They had finally learned the name of God and they were using it in vain. You shall not use the Lord your God's name, Jehovah your God's name, in vain. And it is closely connected with the former two commandments. Like I said, these are all this one commandment, but we call it the Decalogue, we call it the Ten Commandments, but it's all one edict, it's all one statement. Although there is no God besides Jehovah, the absolute one, and His divine essence cannot be seen or conceived of under any form. He hath made known in the glory of His nature, in His name, and Exodus 3:14, the great I Am, the Hayah Asher Hayah, the great I Am that I Am. That's an eternal word. The word Jehovah actually means He who shall become, and the fulfillment of that is John 1:14, Kai Ho Logos Sarxagenito, and the Word became flesh, or the Jehovah became flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. He had made His name, or His nature, known in Exodus 3:14, and this was not to be abused by His people. The Nessa Shem does not mean to utter the name. Nessa never has this meaning. But in the passages in which He has been so rendered, it retains its proper meaning to take up, to lift up, to raise up. You shall not raise up the name. Take up, raise up, a proverb in Numbers 23 and verse 7 and Job 27 verse 1. To lift up a song or a prayer, like in Isaiah 37 and verse 4. And I happen to translate this all from Roman numerals, by the way. That's why I'm slowing down a little bit. And is evident from the parallel in Psalm 24 and verse 4, to lift up his soul in vanity. To lift up his soul in vanity, that it does not mean to utter here. The word sha'ah does not signify a lie. The word shakar, and this is all in Hebrew, and if you're reading this book, you have to be able to read this or know what these names mean. But according to its etymology, sha'ah means to be waste. Sha'ah means to be waste, to lift up His name and waste. To waste His name. It denotes that which is waste and in disorder, hence that which is empty, vain, and negatory, for which there is no occasion. The word prohibits all employment of the name of God in vain, in unworthy objects. It includes not only false swearing, which is condemned in Leviticus 19 and verse 12 as a profanation of the name of Jehovah, but trivial swearing. In the ordinary intercourse of life and in every use of the name of God in the service of untruth and lying for evocation, for witchcraft, for conjuring, whereas the true employment of the name of God is confined to invocation, praise, prayer, thanksgiving, which proceeds from a pure, believing heart. And our last one, God said, I don't want you to pray to me. I don't want you to look at objects that represent me. I don't want anything. I want your pure worship between you and me and nothing else. That's what the last message was, and that was the last, what we call the second word. The natural heart, the natural mind, the natural man is very liable to transgress this command, and therefore it is solemnly enforced by the threat, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless or leave him unpunished. Now let's go and understand some things in the New Testament, because we can't understand the New Testament until we understand the third commandment. Thou shalt not use the Lord Jehovah your God's name in vain. The Jews would never speak the name of God after that. They would never speak His name. They were afraid to. They were afraid to say His name, and therefore they forgot how to pronounce His name. When the Old Testament, when a Jew would come to the reading the Bible in Hebrew, by the way, They would come to the word and they would say Hashem, the name, or Hadabar, the word. And they did that. Now, many times when they come to the word Jehovah today, they will say Adonai. Adonai is not Jehovah. Adonai means Lord. That's another Hebrew word. But in the New Testament, when the Gospel of John was written, and 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation was written, he used the word logos. There, as you see over here. The word logos. That is the equivalent of the word davar in Hebrew, which means word. Now, if in the Old Testament, which they did, they would come to the name of God and they say Hadabar, and as I'm translating the book of Genesis or any other book in the Bible, when I come to the word Jehovah, I will say Hadabar. I will translate it Hadabar. In other words, I won't translate it. I will simply say the word or the Hashem, the name. When John wrote, and the very first word, sentence, his three sentences, there are three sentences in John 1 and 1 by a connector conjunction, chi. It's an NRK Einho Logos. In beginning, kept on being the word Ho Logos there, would be Aha the Bar, and the equivalent of that would be Jehovah. That's what we're talking about. In the beginning, kept on being Jehovah. And Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead. Chi Ho Logos Ein Proston Theon. Then it says Chi Ho Logos, or Chi Logos, or Chi Theos Ein Ho Logos. It doesn't matter which way that is. It's a predicate nominative. In other words, the word logos, and the word theos are the same person, number, gender, and case. They are identical in person. Jesus, or Jehovah, is not like God. He is God. In beginning, kept on being the Jehovah, and Jehovah kept on being an inseparable part of the Godhead, because, now the word chi there on page 208 in analytical Greek lexicon, that word chi there means even, yes. It's like an affirmation. Not a conjunction, but an affirmation. Yes, Jehovah kept on being God, or the Jehovah kept on being the God. Now, there is no such thing as indefinite article in Greek. You don't have an A or an N. You only have definite articles. Now, when you look at this word here, this sentence, this last sentence in John 1 and 1, it says, yes, even, or because the word Ho Logos kept on being Theos. Those are the same person. It could say Chi Ho Logos Ein Theos. Or it could say Chi Ho Logos Ein Ho Theos. Because there's a definite article there, whether you look at it or not, it's just not repeated, even though grammatically and in your mind it should be repeated. John 1:14 says, Chi Ho Logos Sarx Aganito, and the Word, the Jehovah flesh, He became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:18 says, no one has seen God at any time, like we're talking about here in the third commandment. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, that one being in the bosom of the Father, He has led Himself out. That word comes from ekenago in the last word. It says that He has exclaimed Him, and He has explained Him, that He has brought Him out. But what it says there, it says in the Hebrew and the Greek, it says He had led Himself out of eternity in space and time. The fulfillment of the word Jehovah, He who shall become, was done. In Revelation, the 19th chapter, again, we see this, starting with verse number 11. Revelation 19 and verse number 11. Find it in this old Bible here that I've had for 50 years, I guess, nearly. falling apart. And I saw heaven open. And behold, a white horse, Luka Hippos, a white horse, and I saw that set upon is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and wages war. This is the, we saw Jehovah come in John 1 and 1, and we saw him come as the servant, the eternal God, but he is our Savior, servant. He is our Goel, our kinsman, redeemer. And now he's coming back as the Lord of glory. And his eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written upon which no man knows except himself. This is the eternal name of God that we're not supposed to use in vain. And he is clothed with white robe, dipped in blood. And his name is called Ho Logos Theou. Ho Logos Theou. He's called Jehovah, the Jehovah of God. The Word of God, the Christ. And the armies which are heaven clothed in fine linen, white and clean, are following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes out a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads out the winepress of the fierce wrath of God, God Almighty. It talks about God Almighty here. This is El Shaddai. If you look at the Jehovah titles, Jesus fulfills every one of them. Right here, he is God Almighty. He is the eternal Word of God. He is the eternal name, the Ha, the Var, the Ho Logos, the Hashem. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, Adonai Ha, the Naim in Hebrew. Now, John, the apostle, is a Hebrew, and he uses so many Hebraisms in the book of Revelation that many Greek scholars say this couldn't be written by him because it's got too many mistakes in it. There aren't mistakes. There are Hebraisms. The Hebraisms he's bringing to show us that the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the name of God, the Jehovah, he has become in flesh. And he died on the cross of Calvary for us. God experienced death. He experienced the whole wrath of God put upon him. The whole wrath of God upon the whole human race was upon Jesus Christ on that cross. All of us. Every sin that we'll ever commit. Every sin that anyone will ever commit. Was upon him on that cross. He was our vicarious atonement on that cross, because we could have eternal life. On his robe and on his name is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Adonai Ha'adonaim. This is our eternal God. This is the third word, the third commandment. You shall not use Jehovah, your God's name, in vain. Because you will pay for it. And yet we hear people today all the time damning people with God's name, that we hear them doing all kinds of things. That is a very serious sin. A very serious sin. People may do it without even knowing or paying attention to what they're doing. But to use the eternal God just in our everyday speech is blasphemy. As it said back then, you will not go unpunished. The name of God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, Jesus of the New Testament, the Ho Logos, the Ha-Davar, the Hashem, the eternal God that became flesh and died for you, that you might have life. Our Father, we send this message out that it might glorify You, might glorify Your Son, might glorify Your eternal plans that You gave to us from the Old Testament into the New Testament and fulfilled it in the New Testament. Father, please forgive me where I fail You. Use Your word wherever it goes in the world, that it might touch heart and build people up in Your word and draw them closer to You than ever before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.